Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 177 for November 11th, 2013. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
And I'm Lisa Salinger, substituting this week for Joe Steinkamp.
Oh, yes. I bet he's got an advanced copy of KitKat and probably a Nexus 5, and he's holed up somewhere playing with both
Google
of them.
Loves him.
Or he's in the shower practicing singing Feed the Pig. I love that. I really thought that was him, too. When we first played that, I thought that was Joe.
Well, along with being, you know, mean to Joe, which we're not really. In all seriousness, not so much anyway.
Not yet. It's early yet.
Okay. Yeah, good point. We do want to pay homage and honor our veterans this week. As many of you are listening, Veterans Day will have already happened, but we definitely want to say thank you for your service. We do appreciate it. And there's been a lot of that on Twitter today. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, me too. I think that veterans don't get thanked enough for what they do. And I'm glad that there is a special day for honoring their service. But, you know, any old time, any old day, reach out and thank your veterans for what they've done for us. By the way, if you know a friend or family member who is a veteran, or perhaps you are yourself, want to make you guys aware of the SAMNet Vets program, where our veterans can get access to the Serotech SAMNet service for free for life. So you can visit www.serotech.com/SAMNetVets, and we'll have that link in the show notes. We look forward to welcoming you to the community.
Well, let's move right into AT this week. A lot of times when we pick lead stories, it's because there's a huge event or something momentous. Sometimes it's just because of the amount of buzz that something gets on Twitter, and I think this week maybe that's what happened. TapTapC is saying, look, folks, free isn't as free as it appears. So we're going to have to do some subscription-based stuff here. But Ricky, I saw you jump in, and you don't do that a lot, but I think I saw you on Twitter a little bit, kind of making some comments about this.
Boy, howdy is all I can say. This really exploded, and I was a little bit saddened to see the way in which it exploded. TapTapC has been pretty passionate about keeping the service free, and they've said that since the beginning. Hey, we really want to keep this as a free service because we understand that it's valuable to people. But they do a lot of crowdsourcing, and this isn't volunteer crowdsourcing. So they actually pay the people who describe those pictures to you when you take them, if they aren't recognized by the initial pass to the computer. So those folks got to eat. Mm-hmm. TapTapC has to, of course, maintain servers for things to go through. This is an in-app subscription, meaning that Apple does get a cut of what goes through here. So when they decided to make this a paid service, because they had to, they weren't doing it to become rich and make a lot of money. They were doing it because we have to keep the service alive somehow, and this is the only way we could do it. But people were, you know, saying, this isn't fair. I'm on a fixed income, and I can't pay for this thing. I use it every day, but there's no way that I can pay for it, and I don't think it's fair that they started out. It's like a bait and switch. They started out by making this free, and now they're making us pay for it. You know, what gives? This is bad business, and so on. And I just can't agree with any of that. I think $9.99 per month as a subscription, where you can take unlimited pictures, or if you're not a power user, if you take, you know, say 2 or 3 pictures a month or whatever, $7.99 gets you 100 pictures, and you don't have to pay again until you've taken those 100 pictures. And I really do understand that many people are on fixed incomes. Many people have to make very difficult decisions about what things they need and what things are luxury items. But it is a decision that you can make. If you feel that TapTap C is essential to your daily life because you use it every day, and Netflix is also really important because you enjoy watching programs and so on, it may be a very hard decision to choose between the two, but that's kind of how life works.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of comments from people, well, sighted people don't have to pay for this. And to me, that's kind of flawed logic because somebody has to pay for it. And I feel like we say so much, I'm blind, I want to be treated like everyone else. But when something like this comes up, we find that sometimes people don't want to be treated like everyone else. And the cold hard facts are that having a disability can be more expensive than not having a disability. But I, for one, am very glad that TapTapC is out there providing the service they do, and people can choose to subscribe or not. I am certainly not a power user, but the times that I have used it have been really helpful. I was at a convention and had a bit of an upset stomach and used it to identify the two tea bags were there, and one was something like Energy Zinger, which would just not have been ideal at 9-something at night.
No.
The other one was chamomile, which was just what the doctor ordered at that time of night and for that. And I wouldn't have known that any other way. I mean, my room was so far from the desk that, you know, forget that idea. So it's really great. And it's a convenience. The other thing that I think is really good is if you haven't tried TapTapC and you download it and you're a new subscriber, a new person, you get, I forget whether it is 20 or 24 trial shots before you are asked to subscribe.
That's great.
Yeah, I really feel like they've gone out of their way. You know, they're saying, okay, we need the charge for this, but let's have these two plans. Let's make it easy for new people. And, you know, the other criticism I've seen is, well, if you were going to charge, you should have charged from the beginning, but you don't know how an app is going to take off. I mean,
no, you don't. And they didn't want to. This was never about becoming rich for them or whatever.
No.
This was something that they did because they felt it was of benefit. And it really is. And I think they wanted to be, maybe philanthropic isn't the right word, but they wanted to do this because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is that, again, there are costs associated with it. And given that so many people use it, maybe they weren't expecting that number of people to use it that often. And because of the success of the app, people did use it a lot. So got to pay for that somehow. I do want to mention, by the way, that if you make the choice not to subscribe to TapTapC, which is perfectly fine, there are other options that are free. There is the VizWiz app developed by Jeff Bigham and a few other graduate students. I forget which university they designed this app, but it is also a combination of crowdsourcing and computer-aided recognition. You can ask a question with VizWiz. So if you were trying to determine what your thermostat was set at and you needed to figure that out, you can record a question to send along with your picture. That's very cool. The response isn't nearly as quick as TapTapC, but the app is very well designed and it is free at the moment, so certainly worth checking out. Omobi is one more example of an app like this, and it was designed partly as a mainstream app, and I think partly for the guys at Omobi to learn some things about how computer-aided recognition works and what things did they have to pass along to humans and that kind of thing. So it was a bit of an experiment, I suppose, and again, not designed for blind people specifically, but it works nicely. Not as quick response time as you get with TapTapC, but it is available and worth checking out.
So continuing the discussion of things that are not as free as they appear, we have a YouTube presentation from the developers of NVDA in Brisbane. And I listened to part of this, and it's actually quite well done. This is another example of a product that has taken off probably much more wildly than the developers could have ever anticipated. It's quite popular. I suspect there are a few more people that are understanding of the need to donate to it, or at least it appears that that's the case. But I don't know that you would ever have enough donations that you would really feel, you know, like, hey, this is awesome. We don't have to ever ask for donations again. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't think you can get to that point. And as a user, how do you do it? You know, NVDA does have methods where you can choose to set up an automatic monthly donation. And that, to me, makes a whole lot of sense if you're using it all the time and you do still want to contribute, you know, set that up. Hey, I'll give $5 a month and not have to think about it anymore. But again, a lot of times there's just not a lot of pocket change. So if you're a user and you have donated once, that's wonderful. But how do you decide, you know, when is it time for me to donate again?
Yeah, that's difficult. I feel like you don't really know how much you should pay for a screen reader when you're paying a little bit at a time like that. I kind of like the option of you pay and you are finished. You know, there is a set price. And an item that we do have to talk to you about that came out this week is one of those. There is a set price for this, and that is $19.95. And what I am referring to is Jonathan Mosen's book, Tweeting Blind. It is available on Jonathan's website in a few formats and also from National Braille Press in some hard copy formats. And it apparently discusses what is Twitter and a little bit of Twitter etiquette. And it does discuss some programs out there that will allow you to use Twitter more easily. And of course, in-house, we are very much fans of the Twitter client in Serotech Socializer, and we invite you to check that out.
Tweeting and texting and emailing, oh my, there are so many options.
That's right.
It makes it nice if you've got a Bluetooth keyboard, actually, to do these things. Siri is still a little wonky for me. She behaves better now than she did, but she's still...
You have to really watch, because you can dictate something and you can think it's fine. And I almost texted a profanity to my parents the other week that I did not say. I was referring to the Read to Go app one time, and it translated Read to Go as Weed to Go. won't say any more about that. As Joe is fond of saying, we will lose our family-friendly rating.
Yes.
So, yeah, you got to watch. So sometimes a keyboard really is it.
There are some nice new shortcuts that Apple is introducing, kind of quietly as it appears. They're not making a big deal about it, apparently. But some things like, and if you look at this article, by the way, the symbols for the key, such as the command key or the shift key, are symbols. They're not actually written out, unfortunately. So if you are familiar with the Mac and you are familiar with shortcuts on the Mac, then you will be familiar with things like Command N to start a new message in Mail. Mm-hmm. This is on your iOS device using your Bluetooth keyboard, or Command Shift D to send said message. So there are some nice, apparently there is support for third-party apps to use shortcut keys more efficiently, because I don't quite understand. I always thought they could. This article makes it seem like it's easier somehow.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me either, but seeing all of these shortcuts did kind of make me think, hey, I really ought to get a Bluetooth keyboard, because I do this kind of stuff on the Mac all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it would feel very natural to be able to use those things on the phone. I just haven't really gotten a Bluetooth keyboard that I like, but it does certainly make things a lot easier and a lot more efficient. I have upgraded to Mavericks, and so far I've been pretty pleased by it. Namely, I've noticed that resource management seems much better on my late 2010 MacBook Pro. Things just feel a little bit snappier. There are, of course, some new features and new ways of doing things, and who better to talk about that than David Woodbridge? He is always creating wonderful podcasts talking about the new features in Apple products, and he has done that for Mavericks. We've got a link in the show notes for you to check that out.
About a 90-minute podcast, which is kind of long for him. He usually does little short ones.
Yeah, he's usually pretty short about things, but there's a lot of information packed in this one. So.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, with all this information and all these changes that Apple has made, both to Mavericks and in iOS 7, there are, of course, bugs that you will find. Some just regular bugs, and then some more specifically with accessibility in VoiceOver or Zoom. And we have a link in the show notes where you can report these accessibility bugs to Apple. And this is really a very good, very proactive thing to do. You know, you see people post on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, oh, this doesn't work. I wish they'd fix this. And really, you're better off to go to the source and report it. And I don't know if you get a response every time. And it could be that maybe they will not fix your particular issue right away. But enough people writing to Apple lets them know, okay, we care about this. And if enough people have your particular problem, then it will probably be addressed a bit more quickly as well.
Yeah, and I have seen people say something like, oh, I know that so-and-so reported that earlier, so, you know, that's taken care of. And while the bug may have been reported by one person, it really does help for Apple or any developer for that matter to see the number of people who are seeing a particular problem. Because if only one person says something about it, even if it's a huge deal, a developer might say, well, only one person reports this, so, you know, not that many people care about it.
Yeah, it kind of helps them prioritize. It's like you're voting for the features that you want to have fixed first.
Yeah, you know, it's I've said it before, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter how many features they work on, how many improvements, if they don't get to the one thing you want, you're bummed.
You don't have to write,
vote for that.
You don't have to write a doctoral thesis. I mean, I'm not a good one to talk here. I figure why write a paragraph when you can write 10? But really, all you need to say is, this is the model, you know, yep, the device that I'm using. This is the problem I'm having. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It does have to be clear, but it doesn't have to be fancy or anything like that.
And it should be nice. Be nice, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, be nice.
Mean. Honey, flies, all that whole... Yeah, those old expressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll tell you what's nice, and that is to be able to find an accessible news app that's available on your iPhone. Actually, I engaged, the Serotalk Twitter feed engaged in a DM discussion with Laura Legendary the other day. I don't normally do that. I try to keep that, you know, me. But knowing we were going to work on this, use this article for the podcast, I was talking to her about some news apps because she wrote a blog post about, you know, news apps that she finds beneficial and accessible. Interestingly enough, the app that I like to use for breaking news alerts is AP Mobile, which that's about all it's good for. If you actually try to use it for anything else, it's very difficult to use with VoiceOver. So I've kind of settled on a combination of that and the Reuters app, which there are a couple versions of that app. The pro version lets you do a few more things. It also introduces ads. The light version, just the plain version, is just really simple, straightforward news headlines and news articles. So sometimes you do have to use more than one app to accomplish what you want. And Laura lists a whole bunch of apps there that you can play with and check out. Unfortunately, things like CNN and Fox News and I'm not sure. Well, breaking news, a lot of those are really quite difficult to use with voiceover at this time.
Yeah, that's annoying. That's unfortunate. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if anybody has recommendations for news apps to use on Android. I'm not a big news junkie, but I know that many, many people are. And I haven't looked at these kinds of apps on my tablet, but I'm sure that somebody has. So if you do have recommendations for these types of apps on Android, that would be great to hear as well. We've got a great article in Huffington Post talking about assistive technology and specifically how it is a necessity for students, K-12. That is absolutely true. This article mentions several things, including text-to-speech and screen readers. Now, the differentiation between the two and the explanation of the two wasn't quite on target, but it's better than some that I've seen. Also talking about things like switches, sip and puff, on-screen keyboards, and the like. So it's a great introduction to kind of what's out there for various sorts of disabilities and how having that assistive technology can make the difference between a student who essentially can't do much of anything and a student who truly is a student and is doing what school is there for, to learn. I also want to mention that there is a podcast called the AT Tips Podcast that explores all sorts of assistive technology, and generally they'll focus on something different each episode. But if you are an educator or you have somebody who is K through 12 and you want to be aware of the kinds of things that are out there, check out the AT Tips Podcast. It's very, very well done. Some very creative and humorous things happen in that, as well as being educational.
And of course, if you are in education and you have a student who is in grades K through 12 and he or she is eligible to use or in need of a screen reader, you might want to check out our K through K-12 program, which will provide a copy of System Access for them to use for free. And you can find that by going to serotech.com/KK12. And if you have recently been installing and updating software, whether for education or otherwise, it would be very surprising, actually, if you weren't, given all the updates that have come out in the last month or two. But we have
lots
a little
of time
bit
at the progress bar.
Yes. We have some helpful hints for you from the fine people at AI Squared. There is a version of Zoom Text that is available for Mavericks for the Mac. And they give some information. For example, this is not a standard update, so it will not be pushed to you because it is not for everyone, only for those installing Mavericks. So if you are not installing that, then you would want to stay with your current version of Zoom Text.
Speaking of Zoom Text, wanted to mention we did get an email from Brian Watson talking about something Joe said last week. We were talking about updates for Zoom Text for Windows, and Joe mentioned that they were compatible with Windows 8.1, and in fact, no, those are just for Windows 8. And I want to say that in very, very recent days, AI Squared did release something for Windows 8.1, but
I can't be absolutely
certain about that. What I would say to those of you who are Zoom Text users, do research all of these release notes and the like to make sure that before you update, make sure that what you're about to install is in fact compatible with what you're using.
Yeah, IT developers have really been busy with recent updates of Windows and iOS and OS X. So a lot going on right now. And I agree with what Ricky just said. Definitely be aware, especially vigilant at this time, to make sure that what you're using really is going to work with whatever version of the software that you have or operating system that you have or what you think about upgrading to, because there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot going on at Bookshare as well. And one of the really cool things that's happening is a program for disabled veterans, a 30-day trial of the service. Anyone that's used Bookshare for any length of time knows there's a ton of great content. And they just continue to make it easier and easier to find what you're looking for, especially with the Read2Go app, or if you use VoiceDream, or certainly use the Bookshare website. And you can find a lot of the content that is always updated, constantly being refreshed and added to. And so that's a great resource for veterans or anyone who has a visual impairment and would like to read a lot of books.
And Bookshare isn't the only place that you can read some great stuff. You know, blog posts are often quite fun and educational to read as well. We've got this one from Mike Calvo, who is director of the AIR Foundation, and he's talking about a trip that he recently made to the country of Colombia. The blog post is a little bit lengthy, but it's also very, very worthwhile to read. Mike is talking about a program that he is working on with the Colombian government. And the idea is that it's great to start with the children. What better place to teach the fact that blind people can be successful and can learn many things in many different ways, start when they're young. And that's what Mr. Calvo and the AIR Foundation intend to do. They're looking at providing tablets to kids in Colombia and sort of examining which of these tablets really is best in an educational setting. Which one do the kids kind of gravitate toward and are able to use most successfully? So this is an awesome program that he's putting together in collaboration with the Colombian government. There are ways that you can help with this project. Of course, there are monetary donations, and there are other things like translation or perhaps even being an instructor in some way or creating tutorials and materials of that nature. So great project to get involved with. Take a look at this blog post. It began in Colombia, and help out the AIR Foundation if you can.
And I'll be visiting with Mike about this whole discussion very shortly, so you won't want to miss that in the very near future.
Coming up after the break, Jamie takes a mysterious boat ride, and Ricky's out to prove the skeptics wrong.
Are you tired of browsing through thousands of sites just to find the news you want? What about recipes, shopping, radio stations? Wouldn't it be great if there was a single place where you could find all these things and a lot more? There is. Discover SamNet with the widest and most complete content ever assembled for the blind community. And speaking of community, you can use SamNet's voice chat, instant messaging, and users forums to communicate with family, friends, and others who share your interests. To learn more about SamNet, please visit www.serotech.com. That's www.serotech.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-202-0520. We're Serotech, the Accessibility Anywhere people.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 177. We had a nice little break there. Had to stop off in the progress bar once again because it's just that time of year and we can't seem to stay away from it.
Nope.
There is an update for those of you or for
what?
Those of us.
An update?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it, would you?
Second.
If you're on Windows 7, you get IE 11 now, just like all the cool kids on Windows 8.
And 8.1.
Yes.
Well, in the article that we have, it does talk about the fact that IE 11 has now been released for Windows 7, and it's all about performance. Now, they're talking about a 9% performance increase, faster load times, improved battery on laptops running IE. I don't know. 9% doesn't seem much. I would just be happy if it opted not to go down in a blaze of glory on a somewhat regular basis.
There's
always this
with
honeymoon,
you.
Though, I think, like with a new version of IE, there's this honeymoon period, and you say, it's working great, and then when you speak that into existence, well, It's not.
It's no longer working so great. But yeah, I'm totally with you in that I think stability has been the biggest issue for me with IE. It's not about speed so much. It's where'd you go? You stopped off for a cup of coffee and you've stopped responding. And just as soon as I'm going to end it in Task Manager, then, oh, wait, no, I'm here.
It's back. Yeah. And they basically said that the reason that the performance upgrades were made is to keep up with competing browsers. Well, I don't know. To me, it's kind of a fine line between performance and stability. And maybe I'm taking a simplistic view of this because I'm not a programmer. But it would seem to my semi-uneducated mind on this one that if you took care of the stability, the performance would take care of itself.
That seems pretty logical to me. And even if you are a little bit slower, but you're more stable, I mean, to me, slow and steady wins the race. Seriously, can you not wait that extra 3 microseconds to see the cat video? You know, exactly. As long as it's not crashing, it's good.
Sounds like a lot of mystery in this discussion, why things aren't working the way they should. You know, Google likes mystery.
Yes, they do.
Cue the scary organ music.
Yeah, mysterious barges. You know, I guess if you are going to lay down the money for Google Glass, maybe you can afford to board this, whatever this thing is, this party barge, I guess, to, you know, learn about Google Glass and get to play with all the new features. I don't quite get what these barges are. Apparently there's more than one of them or going to be like a showroom on the water. Yeah,
because I thought for whatever reason that they were going to do this. You know how they were doing the balloons? Mm-hmm. And so you were going to have wireless stuff everywhere because of the balloons floating around everywhere. I thought that the barges were going to be something similar where, hey, it's Wi-Fi on the water.
Yeah.
But I guess not, or at least not entirely. Maybe that will end up being part of what these barges are for. But right now, it looks like they're just come on in and party with Google. And if you've got glass, we can show you all these neat things that you can do with glass on a barge for some reason, because you can't do it anywhere else. I don't know.
But yet they filed a patent for some sort of waterway service provision something. So my guess is there's still quite a lot of mystery. I almost could see this being sort of a traveling exhibit up and down the East and the West Coasts. And
that'd be kind of neat.
It would be.
Actually. Google does stuff like that where they'll just say, hey, let's try this weird thing nobody ever thought of. And whether it entirely makes sense or not, it sounds like a fun idea. Let's do that and see what sticks.
Maybe I could go to the home of Mark Twain and Hannibal and go on the Mississippi and play with Google Glass on a barge. Yay.
Yeah. Would you get seasick?
You probably not. No, not on a riverboat. I don't think. Actually so much.
I'm just picturing like viewing Google Glass through, you know, while you're going back and forth, up and down.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if you would or not. And it is only on one eye. So how does that affect the whole visual thing, you know?
For a really good time, we take your iPhone 7 with all that parallax and motion turned on. And you take that on a boat and, ooh, boy, time to party.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about that with your BlackBerry handset because they haven't done anything like that. Who knows if they're going to? Turns out that, man, this story just keeps going and going and going.
It does.
We keep thinking, okay, BlackBerry, they're going to be sold. The end. Yeah. You know,
it's BlackBerry, the cereal. S-E-R-I-A-L, not the breakfast.
Right.
Never mind.
In our previous episode, BlackBerry was negotiating with several possible companies to be sold. Next, enter John Chen, who says, nuh-uh, I'm taking over and we're going to turn this whole thing around. We are not going to allow ourselves to be sold after all. And this guy, John Chen, is making all sorts of promises. He does want to revive the handset. He is saying that, no, we can compete with Android and iOS and Windows Phone. And we're gonna do that. He does have history of turning another corporation around. It was Sybase. And Sybase was basically almost dead. And he brought that corporation back within about a year, and it became viable. He says it's going to take about 6 quarters to really turn BlackBerry around, but he doesn't seem intimidated by it. Of course, what else would he say? Well, you know, this is probably going to be a really bad idea, but, you know, I'll just see what I can do here. But the saga continues.
Tune in next week.
If you asked an Apple executive, what about Mavericks? You know, I suspect they'd be all excited and tell you it's going great. But what if you bought a computer that only had Mountain Lion on it? Wonder what that says.
This is where the internet comes to bite some of its greatest proponents in the seat of the problem. We have an article from a gentleman who ordered a Mac, waited until after the October event, and when he got it, it was still running Mountain Lion and not even the most recent update to Mountain Lion. It was running a version that was about a month old. And this isn't such a big deal because the update process is really very simple, very easy, very non-intimidating, but it is a big deal because on their site, it does say that the unit ships with Mavericks. And his question was, basically, you know, Apple has always paid such attention to detail. Is this lack of attention to detail a reason for concern?
Yeah, because someone that wasn't tech savvy might not have a clue.
They might not have any idea how do you go update to Mavericks. And it is very strange that, I mean, brand new machine, you'd think that they would just slap an image on all those things when they started shipping them, and they haven't. So it's a little bit perplexing, especially given that Apple is really trying to get everybody on Mavericks, and they want to be able to say 89% of Macs are on Mavericks within the first 3 weeks or what have you. So having that kind of lapse doesn't make a lot of sense. And again, these things happen, but it's perplexing.
Well, you know, Apple's done a couple of things this week. First of all, they rolled out an email fix to, you know, make that Gmail thingy go away that was causing some problems. And they said, you know what, this whole deal with iWork, some of the features that you guys have absolutely ripped us apart for taking out, well, we might actually put some of those back in the next 6 months or so. So apparently they do listen to their customers, and they are aware when people are unhappy with them about certain things. I wonder if maybe some of those features were actually coming anyway, or if this really
is a
change. I think so too, honestly.
And it felt to me, and maybe I'm just way off base, but it felt like they had to rewrite the suite from the ground up. And it felt like they did that, but they didn't have time to finish everything. And they were kind of like, we got to get this out now. And maybe some of these things they didn't expect to get such big backlash about. But I feel like they said, you know, this has got to go to market in whatever state it's in. And then we can come back and shore up some things later. And there are a few major things like putting back in keyboard shortcuts that were there before and aren't any longer. Some of the other things were, there were some functionality in Keynote with regard to certain types of presentations that was just gone. So yeah, I expect that they're feverishly rewriting stuff and bringing it back rather than, oh, we had no idea people cared about that. And now that we know that you do, I guess we'll do something about it.
Well, when we were discussing all of this, Jamie mentioned email, but Apple has actually put out an update to Mavericks to fix some problems with its mail program. It seems that there were some problems with messages not being able to be archived or deleted, and with message counts being off. So this latest update to Mavericks also addresses that problem as well.
Coming up after the break, super feedback, superheroes, and super storage right here on Serotalk Podcast 177.
All in together now, we can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up,
cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out,
cause we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down,
cause we know what to eat.
We'll swap it out,
we eat healthy stuff.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Can we do it?
Today's a good day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up,
cause we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around,
cause we know how to play.
We'll drop it down,
cause we know how to dance.
We'll veg it up,
veg it night and day.
Can we do it?
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
You're listening to Serotalk Weekly.
The mailbag.
I report.
The mailbag.
Email.
The mailbag.
Everything else.
The mailbag.
Yay, it's my favorite part of the day where I get to hug the mail bag and squeeze it and reach on in and see what kind of goodies are in here today. And let's see. All right, let's grab this one from Aaron Linson, who says, as a blind person in college, I use both mainstream and dedicated, aka blindness-specific devices. I'm a big believer in Braille, and I've been using the Braille Note since the first one was introduced in 2000. He talks about using it for Braille music and the like, and he has GPS on it. And then he makes the point that there are always going to be people who say, you're not one of us because you don't use device X or Y. But we just need to say, that's your opinion, and move on. And I happen to agree with this. We actually also got some feedback in from Chris Nussbaum, who says something similar. And he talks about how having choices is such a big thing, and how occasionally, whether it's about technology or any other aspect of a blind person's life, like how do you travel? Cane versus guide dog. How do you cook? Do you use a knife with a guide, or do you do it in some other way? And what tends to happen is that people get very caught up in their own way of doing things, and they think that is the only way to do things. And we can, as a community, be a little exclusive somehow, or we can be, again, as Aaron said, if you don't do it this way, you're not one of us. And I hope that that kind of thinking can be lessened over time. Up next, we've got an email from Mike Arrigo. I think the mailbag seems to like Mr. Arrigo lately. It keeps like pushing Mike's comments toward me and go, hey, use that. And he does bring up some very good points in this email. He first talks about how we were discussing Android, and I was talking about my Nexus experience. There is apparently a way that you can navigate through Elements using Chrome as well as Firefox. It's a little bit different. You're using the local context menu to then choose your method of navigation rather than the gestures that have been built into Firefox. So it's not quite the same, but it still can be done. And Chrome is kind of neat in that there are some sounds inside Chrome that sort of remind me of playing a video game or something. But those sounds can be really nice feedback cues if you want those. So I am going to try out Chrome and see what I think about it. Mike also mentions the swipe keyboard, which he really, really likes. This comes from Nuance, and you can do some dictation, of course, in addition to using the actual keyboard. You can try it before you purchase it, and I've heard lots of great things about this, so gonna check that out. You will probably hear this and much, much more discussed on That Android Show, thatandroidshow.com, or you can follow him on Twitter, twitter.com/thatandroidshow. And last, oh yes, you remember that time very, very recently where Mr. Steinkamp may have alluded to the fact that lawyers were perhaps, well, let's see, how did he put it? I black. Like my coffee black, black like your heart. Great Simpsons reference there. And it should come as no surprise that Mr. Dittman Esquire has a response to that. And I think we're just going to let this gentleman over here read what Mr. Dittman has to say, proving that lawyers are, in fact, or can be, kind-hearted.
Good day to the Zero Talk team. Inasmuch as Mr. Steinkamp has made the implied and, dare I state, expressed assertion that those who have been called to the bar lack the qualities that one in sophisticated society would commonly associate with humor, or that those engaged in the practice of law lack a soul, do you take your coffee black, black as your heart? See Zero Talk Podcast Mailbag 176. I wish to show that we attorneys are indeed capable of goodwill. Therefore I wish to present Mr. Steinkamp with a gift. In order to receive such gift, a gift of considerable value I might add, the following deed of property must be read to him, on the podcast, in so that it may be witnessed and therefore be presented with proper solemnity. The State of Texas, County of Bexar I, Robert E. Dittman, Esquire, hereby give, grant, bargain, sell, release, convey, transfer, and quit claim all my right, title, interest, benefit, and use whatever in, of, and concerning this chattel, otherwise known as an orange, or citrus or antium, together with all the appurtenances thereto of skin, pulp, pip, rind, seeds, and juice for his own use and behoof, to himself and his heirs in fee simple forever, free from all liens, encumbrances, easements, limitations, restraints, or conditions whatsoever, any and all prior deeds, transfers or other documents whatsoever. Witnessed I have hereto set my hand this 7th day of November the year of our Lord 2013, and affixed my official seal in testament thereto. Robert D. Dittman, Esquire, Attorney and Counselor at Law.
There you go. Were there any provisions in that for sharing this gift? Because I really like oranges.
That's a shame. Gosh. Maybe Mr. Dittman could amend the...
That would be wonderful. Yeah. Yes. And that way, you know, and oranges are fairly easy to divide in equal parts. Yeah. So I don't think we'd have a whole lot of problem, you know, if we could just get that amended so that he can share and dispense such things as he sees fit.
I actually like cuties myself. Those are really good. Little tiny
oranges. I don't think
orange.
I've had that. Are they like teeny tiny oranges?
Like
they
clementines? Are.
I think they're very similar. Yeah, I think.
Clementines. Oh, yes, good. I love clementines. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever had a Tangelo? Those are really good. Mm. Yeah.
I'm also not opposed to those ones that are made of chocolate.
Oh, those are awesome.
I've never had a chocolate orange.
I don't think I would like the pure chocolate orange because it has like orange goop in it, I think. But I had one that had mint filling in it, and that was very good.
Ooh, oh, so yummy. Now, I don't like orange slices, you know, the ones that are kind of like gumdrops.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
But they do remind me of Christmas because those always ended up in our stockings for some reason.
Yes. Wow, now I'm hungry. Chocolate hungry. Funny how we do that on this podcast every so often, it seems.
It all comes back to chocolate.
It does.
Everybody loves noms.
So please write us and don't mention food. Actually, you really can if you want to. Resources at sarahtalk.com. Yes,
there
that would be awesome. Yeah, virtually. Yes. Resources at sarahtalk.com. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio using either your iOS or Android device. Go over to www.sarahtalk.com. While you're looking at the show notes over there, leave a report on just a comment on our blog as well. Or you can call the blab line, 866-997-2522. It's time now for Roundabout.
Roundabout.
I want to go to San Francisco, and I want to do it on November 15th because there is something really cool that's going to happen on that date. There is a young 5-year-old leukemia patient by the name of Miles. And this young man, when asked by the Make-A-Wish Foundation what he wanted, said he wanted to be a superhero. So on November 15th, there's going to be a news announcement in San Francisco that Batkid is needed to help solve some crimes. And all over the city, there are going to be some comic book style showdowns and crimes and that sort of thing that that Batkid is going to help solve and take care of. I think this is just the neatest idea in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely is. I mean, having people become involved, it's not just like one or two people. I mean, the city is going to be involved. And a lot of these people are volunteers. And then, of course, they're just the people that happen to be in the city and may involve themselves in some way. But I just love this idea that a fantasy like that can come true, and it's not restricted to, say, a single room or a single group of people or anything like that. Anything could happen.
Yeah, and it's just organizations like Make-A-Wish. Donations are so important. But sometimes people, I think, can, to use the expression, throw money at it and just walk away. And this is like people are really throwing their hearts at it. There's no definable purpose for the greater good except to make some little boy's day. It's like Dr. Seuss and J.K. Rowling got together and they wrote a fantasy. And I don't know. I just love it. I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
I hope they get video of this, and I'm sure they will to, you know, maybe be able to show news clips and things like that. But to have a video like that to just capture the whole event and be able to kind of save some of that magic would be really, really cool. And maybe somebody a million years from now will be watching clips of that, because it looks like they are developing methods to save data and have that data remain intact a million years from now. What's happening right now is that when you store things on magnetic disks, you maybe have a life of about 10 years before things start to degrade or just disappear altogether. And I had never thought of that before reading this article. We have so much that is pure data, and how is it going to survive? You know, before there were tablets, meaning stone tablets, or, you know, scrolls and things like that that were stored and miraculously have survived enough for us to study that kind of history. But now that everything is digital, it's a whole different method of preserving things like that. And so they've developed this stuff, and they had to do interesting testing on it because you can't wait for it to age a million years and go, oh, okay, good, that worked. You know, that's not very practical. So they had to figure out ways to simulate aging, which they did, and it was very, very successful. Now, it probably wouldn't survive even the heat of a house fire at this point, but again, this is in the very beginning stages, so they're going to continue to work to perfect this.
Well, one thing we won't be doing in a million years is renting movies from Blockbuster. There is an announcement made by Blockbuster that they are closing their stores. Now, if there are independent franchises, they will stay open, but most Blockbuster stores will go away. And it was kind of funny because this article referred to them as DVD rental stores. Well, that's all well and good, but I remember when they rented VCRs. And if you didn't, VCR tapes.
Oh, yes.
And if you you know, they had the Be Kind Rewind stickers on them. And if you didn't rewind, you were charged a penalty when you brought them back. But
gosh, you're really old, Lisa.
I know. Did I just seriously say that?
Sorry. Because I am too.
Right back at
I
you.
Remember
yeah,
this
I was
too.
Say.
And I'm the youngest of you, but I'm still really old.
Well, and I remember the way that they rewound when they were done. It sounded so violent. It came to an like a screeching halt. And I'm thinking, that is going to rip the tape into shreds. And, but at least I can show them. See, it's ripped to shreds here at the very beginning because I tried
so
to rewind.
So I did rewind.
I always thought that the tape was like going to bust clear out of the front of the machine. You know how it used to wind up, rev up. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just get faster. And well, one of these days, that's just,
Then they talked about how hard that was on the VCR player itself. And then you could buy specific VCR rewinders.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never had one of those, but I saw them before.
I didn't either. Where are they now?
Yeah.
This eBay. Is kind of sad, though, to see this era come to an end. Because I can remember going into a Blockbuster or Hastings, which is what we had in my town, but it was, you know, kind of similar concept. And my mom would be reading off the different movies, and they had these little plastic boxes that were, I guess, picturing the cover of the movie, and then you would take that up to the front and, you know, they'd give you the actual tape of it. But
yeah, that's right.
It was neat to go in there, and they had the really expensive candy that you could get at the movie theaters, and it was just as expensive in the Blockbuster or wherever. But, you know, you didn't have to think ahead. You could wake up and decide, hey, tonight I want to watch blah, 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 and go and get it. Whereas with Netflix, you got to add it to your queue. And, you know, if you want to watch it on DVD or whatever, and it's not digital yet, you got to wait for it to come to you.
Or it was kind of neat because you'd not have a clue what you wanted to see.
Right.
And you'd go in there. The only thing you knew was you wanted smart food cheese popcorn. But you'd say, yes. You know, I don't know what I want to watch. And the guy would say, well, do you like this? Do you like this? A lot of our customers who get that do that, which is what these places try to do through algorithms. But, you know, the personal touch was really neat. I was never really a huge movie watcher, but lots of fun memories from there.
Now you just go to McDonald's and go to Redbox and just getting a Dr. Pepper out of a vending machine. You just get a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those places even had their own smell. I mean, it's like you could tell you were in a video store.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yeah, it's weird. Can't imagine why. I mean, it's just boxes and tape. You know, I don't know.
Smells like videos.
Yeah.
But you're right, it did.
Wow. Here we go, smells again. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It happens every so often.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before, I think, but I have no sense of smell.
Yeah.
And it amazes me to hear about all the things that do have their own smell. Now, last week, I wasn't so much amazed. That, you know, that was the whole computers with the funny smelling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That one I'm glad to skip. But it fascinates me that things have so many different smells.
Yeah.
Yeah, things that you wouldn't even think of as having a particular smell.
Right.
Yeah.
And they do. You walk into a school has a smell.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that a lot.
A library has a smell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a church, yes, churches definitely have smells.
And some sounds. I mean, nothing sounded quite like the VCR tape rewinding or quite like the snap that the box made when you opened it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, once
those
again,
were the days.
We have wandered and meandered into a nice, wonderful place. And we're just going to sit here and we're going to talk for the rest of the day about old movies, but I'm sure some of you listening have other things that you need to do, so we probably need to let you go. We'd like to thank you for joining us. I know. Some people actually like have to work and stuff. That's really a bummer, man. That's a shame. No. In all seriousness, we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your feedback. At the end of the podcast, Patrick will tell you how to get a hold of us one more time, just in case you have forgotten. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.